Obviously, I didn't have anything prepared to talk about, but I have something a little bit on my mind.
You want to put this on?
This is not Ole Anthony. My new sweater.
Judy Bonnet.
How can you tell? She won't let me buy my clothes. She won't let me shop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, high fat clothes. We are coming upon a time of doing first fruits. We are going to try and do that this year. We've been talking about it for years now. But there's much talk amongst the elders, and even some teaching has taken place in John's group about it, and we might do that in ours too. In the process of first fruits, one of the things you must entertain with all zealousness and sincerity is this concept of forgiveness of one another. And forgiveness has to go to a very deep level, or it's pretending. It's tied in to me with the dying to self. I mean, when we ever are read, it's read to us, the dying to self soliloquy. Is that a right word for that? I like the word. Whenever that's read, dying to self kind of cuts you to the quick because we all fail. But we have to entertain those times of a seriously looking outward at our fellows and considering forgiveness very deeply. The thing that I get a picture of that convicts me very effectively is to imagine I'm dead and it's time to pass on into the kingdom, and here stands at the gates certain people that I may not have fully forgiven. And they are my entrance into that kingdom. And without having exercised pure forgiveness for them, I don't walk through the gates because they are the entry. The gates are not anything. Those folks that I may still have opinions about, other weird feelings, whatever they might be, stand there and look at me. And it's unbelievable whose faces will come up to you if you do this little exercise. You'll find there are certain people in your life that you've kind of blown off, that you consider lightly, that are an aggravation, that mean nothing to you, that you judge down, you judge up. And they stand at the gates and you can't walk through them because there's still something in you. You're not dead to yourself in those particular arenas. And those are the ones, unfortunately for the old man, that God is solely interested in, because this is where he's invested all of himself.
Those are the ones that are angels talking about.
Mm-hmm. In fact, they are. But I guess that's one of the reasons we have some time on the earth. You know, I've thought about that a lot lately. You know, what's the point of being here? What's the point of us doing all this? What's the point of us meeting more and more than anybody else we know? And does that help us better? Are we more prepared now to go to our eternal resting place? Or, you know, what's the deal? What about the folks who don't even come here? They've come here, now they quit, or they come occasionally. Are we the winners because we come more often? And they're the losers, and I mean, all kinds of issues come up, right?
Yeah.
They're the losers. We'd like to think that's right. It gets down into the short hairs, you know, of the subtleties of how the snake operates and how it's always working to give you life in some way or another. And there is some way that you're better than someone else, or more, or in fact anything. That's probably the bottom line, is this is trying to just make you something. It doesn't care if it's bad or good, as long as it's not dead. So the idea of dying to self in this arena of swallowing your pride and being able to humble yourself to go and ask somebody's forgiveness. Part of it, I guess, I thought of when Ollie was talking about gossip yesterday, you know, talking about other people and they're not in the room or in your presence. Well, we all do that. Everybody knows because everybody's heard everybody do it. Fine. That's just a road sign, so to speak, telling you that there are certain arenas where you're still gaining life by hurting someone else through conversation. If you choose to continue, that's I suppose that's fine. You just have to consider there may be a penalty. I don't understand what the penalty could be. But I know I see those faces at the pearly gates of people that I might personally have taken part in that exercise of gossipy destruction. And in the nighttime when I think about this, it scares me. Because I don't know what that what it means, but I know it gives me a deep seated fear that I'm turning my face on one of the most fundamental aspects of being a believer or being a Christian, and that is to forgive those who've offended you.
Remember that time we had an outbreak of that stuff going on around here?
Outbreak.
I think the name was Jerry Kane and me, Jerry, and Dwight. And
let's talk about
yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know. Probably some other people here, too, that were involved in that. We had this big old huge deal about that. I remember when we were in our Bible study. Well, I know we said that.
Yeah.
Judy taught me.
Yeah.
Somebody heard. I remember. You know, just last night, you know, something like she was like, couldn't sleep last night. I was thinking about it. I was troubled by that.
Yeah.
It is scary.
Well, it should be scary. You know, if the fundamental thing is God has chosen us as His habitation, but His life is stilted by our unforgiveness, then the entire thing that this community is about means nothing, because we have chosen to, you know, delight ourselves. And I mean, gossip is sweet. Talking about other people is great. I mean, it gives you all kinds of emotional highs, you know. That's it's a mind-altering drug.
I just got here. I missed whoever we're talking about.
Yeah, let's start over.
Excuse me, this euphoria. Like you feel it's hurt. Yeah. Better
than. Yeah. And the point is, do it. Just go ahead and do it. But feel it. See what is happening. That's the issue. Don't be fooled by what's going on and think it's not having an effect on you. Gossip your heart out and watch it take place. Because if you don't go all the way with things, you don't repent. If you just kind of tiptoe around and be kind of righteous, then you don't have the pressure. You don't have the impact of what is going on. You got to see it and feel it and know it. I mean, the fact that somebody's telling you this doesn't mean anything. I mean, so what? We've been told before. That's why, to me, I've been saying this a lot lately. Do what's there to be done in you, so that you can see for yourself what's going on, and then you're able to repent. Because the weight of it will hit you in the face. It won't be just light words that you can dismiss. You know, sin has to become exceedingly sinful. But it's at that place that repentance goes to a level that's real and deep, and it's not. I'm sorry, I got doing it again. You know, the old I'm sorry thing just kind of gets you off the hook for a while. But pure repentance turns you around because you have seen something. And if you don't see it, it ain't happening. And what difference does it make if I've seen it and I tell you, that's fine for me. But you've got to see it for yourself. You know, you have to be fully tested and fully tried. So that's why I find this gospel that we preach is as dangerous a thing as there is on the planet. Because it requires honesty to the innermost parts. And you don't get to honesty in the innermost parts without experiencing life in its fullest. So you got the extremes. I could use Harry as an example right now. He's a good example because I forgive you, Harry. You're a smiling face at the pearly gates to me.
Smiling like, come on in, or smiling like, now I got you.
Yeah, well, there's that. I've been waiting for you. Yeah, get your ass out of here, boy. No, Harry's this example of yeshing completely, but his repentance is pretty deep because he has to face himself when he goes through some of this stuff. And, you know, he walks out and then he has to go home and be alone. And it's hard, you know, because here you are. You've just done your thing.
It's the Howard Dean effect.
Well, hot or cold.
Hot or cold.
After you go, you have to face the fact that I'm some presidentialist.
Yeah. Making any sense? Do you like the pearly gates thing? I like the pearly gates thing.
I'm sure I would have.
I see the pearly gates when I imagine dying and it's time to walk on into heaven in classic terms. And here's the pearly gates. And there's a few folks standing at the pearly gates that I may not have forgiven. And they are the ones that wait. And I can't go in because I'm not reconciled. And it's small issues. They're so small they're not worthy to be dealt with. At the last day, there is no small issue.
It's scary to think it's maybe they can't go in because you.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
There it is. So you're responsible for their eternal life, these bastards.
What's coming to mind with me is when. Really small irritate. I'm irritated with that person, and that person irritates me. And rather than dealing with it internally and appreciating that person, letting that continue, and it's contrasted with having fervent love for each other, which is not existent at that point.
The world only knows that. Sort of constant irritation with everything. That's sort of the warp and woof of life to most people. And they don't understand that there's a place, with total freedom and forgiveness. That's what we've been given. When we get back into that kind of thing, it's like we're rejecting our true heritage.
Yeah, and
becoming more like the world.
Yeah, it's like we're returning our inheritance. We've gained all things, but we would let all things go because we want to hold a grudge against somebody. It really points out how stupid we are. I get this at work with one of my guys, with Carlos. I'll talk about Carlos because he's not here.
Yeah. Probably won't be listening.
Yeah. I have to forgive him all the time. He aggravates the beans out of me. And I get real convicted at this point because I, you know, he doesn't understand my language and this and that and the other. And I get all cranked up about it. But I have to seriously entertain what I'm talking about with him or my whole life stops. You know, and this is a guy that can't even speak my language.
Yeah. Another way of looking at that might be that you don't understand his language.
This is my country.
Slightly different twist on it.
Yeah. You guys keep turning things around here.
He may be saying, you know, Gary didn't really understand.
I hope he's forgiving me, too, because...
Well, you probably sound like an idiot to him when you speak to him in Spanish. You do this, then that'd be okay.
You're making me look bad, Harry. Yeah. There he goes again, you know. All right, well, let's move on now. It does, doesn't it? It keeps coming back over here. Yeah. Well, let's don't keep others out. I appreciated that little comment, you know, that we're keeping others out of the kingdom. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. That's too much responsibility. It's probably one of the aspects of that. Let's let other people be free, and it requires humility on our own parts. You know, you got to humble yourself to go and talk to people. And there's that point that before you go and talk, you don't go with your anger and chew them up and say, you've really offended me for these reasons, A, B, C, D, and E. You go in humility, having forgiven before you go. That's the point. And then you can go easily. But in the spirit of first fruits, that's one of the requirements, because otherwise you get in our meetings and you have to leave and go and see Harry.
What's humbling is having to go to somebody and say, I've murdered you in my mind.
Yeah, for 6 months. Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. But this is where we live. This is where we live, and this is where we die. And we can talk about scriptures and God all day long, and it doesn't mean a thing if this issue is not confronted. So be hot or be cold. You know, go for it. Find out what's really there and get to a place to where you can repent. Because the beauty of it is, this is our foundation stone, is repentance is as if you've done the entire law. So you can either try and do the law or repent. Now, we can't do the law, so we really don't have anything else. Repentance is our only salvation. So, amen. I'll drink to that.
You ever heard Father Guido Sarducci's description of what happens at the pearly gates?
Mm-mm.
He has this recurring nightmare that when he gets to the pearly gates, St. Peter is like a CPA, a big adding machine.
Oh, yeah.
And in your life, the bad things that you do have monetary values. Like murder would be like $10,000.
Right.
Masturbation might be 25 cents.
Okay.
Fines. And then the good things you do, you get a credit for those, like helping a little old lady across the street might be $5. He said St. Peter goes through this big accounting of his entire life, and he always comes up 25 cents short.
I don't want to come up short.
25 cents short.
Yeah, not a quarter. Anybody else? All right, I'll let my rollover minutes accrue to Ollie then. Take it, big guy.